Welcome to the Trade Secrets Inspections Podcast, because you need to know. Here's your host, Rick Koyman.
Hey, this is Charlie McDermott, producer of the Trade Secrets Inspections Podcast, and I'm back with Rick Koyman in the studio. Rick, how you doing?
Excellent. How are you doing, Charlie?
Doing great, Rick. And you're going to solve one of the big mysteries for, I know, a lot of people's lives, and certainly was mine, probably still is. I mean, hey, let's be honest here. I'm not an expert, and that's why you're doing this podcast when it comes to home inspections. But, you know, a guy coming from Pennsylvania a few years back down to Florida, and this wind mitigation thing, I had no idea what it was about. And certainly it's a pretty big deal when it's all said and done, because I guess when a hurricane hit, it's not so much the rain that does the damage, it's the wind, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We're looking at windstorm resistance primarily with this topic. But yeah, Florida is a difficult state for insurance in general. And recently, insurance has gotten even more tough. And there's some policies that have been canceled, and lots of people are shopping, and insurance rates have gone up. So this has been a big topic lately. There's a lot of misunderstanding, or just general, what is that all about with this topic?
So yeah.
Let's take a look at that and let's talk about it.
So, what is wind mitigation, that whole inspection piece about?
Let's talk about where it came from to begin with, anyways, or why it exists in Florida. And honestly, most all this stuff we deal with in Florida and building is all a result of Hurricane Andrew, essentially, you know, back in 92, came to Miami and really caused a lot of damage. It's kind of hard to wrap your head around, but if you think about it, right after Andrew went through Miami, there were 250,000 people without a home over there.
Wow.
We went through Irma, and that was a completely different story. I mean, if you can imagine devastation across, you know, a whole town, that's what happened over there. I mean, the town of Homestead was virtually erased from the surface. So, you know, when that happened, that there was a hard look to take at why and what could we do about it. And at that point in time, insurance really just kind of ran out of the state because, of course, they were just getting hammered. So they didn't want to write any more policies, and Florida had to come up with their own insurance, essentially, and created Citizens. And Citizens, you know, established with these extremely high rates, essentially, because they were the only ones in town. Mm. And in order to kind of qualify what different homes were and how they could adjust the rates, they came up with this wind mitigation certification, essentially. They call it an 1802 inspection. That's per, you know, Florida statutes and stuff. And they defined specific who could do it. There's only about six different people under different licenses that can do it. You know, home inspectors, building code inspectors, general contractors, the engineer, architect. But any one of those people can't just go out and do this. You still have to be certified and take the course to be able to do this and complete this form, because it is quite technical in its nature. And honestly, I've taken this class for the certification. I take it every year. And every year I learn something new about it, which is just, you just scratch your head over and over again. There's just so many layers to it. But ultimately, it comes down to seven different sections and what underwriters are looking at and what they're assessing as their risk, based on these five different things they're interested in. And one of them goes back to Andrew, and they want to know, what building code was it built to? What, you know, what standards was that house built under? And what year was it built? And, you know, if it was built let's just call it 2000, there were no differences in the Florida building code from anywhere else, unless you were in Miami-Dade. Because in 94, Miami-Dade said, you know, we're not going to let Homestead build back to how it was. So right there in 94, they came up with what we all know is the Miami-Dade code, or what we all hear is Miami-Dade approved everywhere. And that's where that came from. So then in 2002, the whole state adopted that building code. So houses built prior to 2002 don't have the same building requirements that were established for hurricanes to begin with. So right there, that's what they want to know right off the bat. When was this house built and what standards was it built to? You know, once they start with that question, then you go, okay, so maybe we want to look at this or maybe we don't. And then the next thing they want to know is about the roof. I mean, roofs in Florida and homes is like, they go hand in hand in topics of, you know, what status is this house? What value or risk is this house? And that's the first place they look is the roof. You know, they want to know, again, when was that built? How old is it? What type of roof is it? And then when they set up the Miami-Dade code, they established product lines that had to meet the testing standards that went with those codes. So now those products are now called Miami-Dade approved products, or they also have a Florida registration number. And in the county records, you see it as what's called an NOA, or a notice of acceptance. And that means that it's been evaluated by the state and approved for use in these what are called high risk zones. So we have the hurricane zone, and we have a high wind zone. And they're very close to the same. And ultimately, they're going to be the same, but they have basic proximities to the coast that define them differently as their maximum expected high wind or what they're designed for. So they meet these standards. And if you have your door or your roof tile and it's tested to meet that requirement, then of course that's the product they only want you to use. And of course there's a premium to all those products because they had to go through all this rigorous testing. So they want to know about that stuff. And then they want to know, how was the whole roof system built? Not just what kind of roof covering is it? They want to know specifically, what is the decking? What kind of sheeting is it? What kind of nails were used? Were they put in with staples? What's the spacing between those fasteners?
Wow.
They're really nitty gritty on this stuff. They want to know, was it on the edge of the sheet or was it in the middle of the sheet?
Wow.
It's very specific and detailed. And there's different levels for different classifications on all the different ways you could put a house together, right? So then they take it one step further and they go, well, how is that whole roof system attached to the walls? You know, not just the sheeting onto the truss, but the whole roof will blow off. So now we look at, how is the truss attached to the wall? And again, how many different ways can you come up with to do that?
Jeez. Right?
And then they came up with a list of different ones that they accept. And we call them straps or clips. The standard way homes were built forever was with the classic toenail, which, you know, you just put the nail in on an angle on the side of the wood, you pounded it through the truss edge and into the top of the wall. And you put one on each side, it was crossed, and that's how homes were built for the longest time. But essentially, in a high wind storm, if you built your house like that, it just pops right off. So, you know, we've seen the videos where the whole roof system rips off in a tornado or a hurricane, and you're like, wow, the whole roof just came off together. That's a classic toenail situation. You know, so here in Florida, again, we have a myriad of different ways we can attach that roof to the wall and what kind of wall it is. And again, they risk assess that, you know, and then they go, okay, so we've looked at what the roof and the walls and the clips and the straps and all these kind of things and nails and sheeting, what kind of roof is it? You know, is it a traditional gable roof with those big triangles on the end of it that catch wind? You know, they look like a kite. Or is it what we call the hip roof, where essentially around the perimeter of the house, it's one consistent line, you know? So there's no big triangles up in the air. And that's really what they're looking for. They really like those hip roof styles. And then they take it, because there's lots of architects out there that like to make fancy roofs. And we've all seen the big fancy roofs. And they'll go, okay, so is it within 90% of being a hip roof? And if so, you got to prove it by a plan and the numbers. And, you know, they want to see the map. They want to see the dimensions. They want to see, is it really a hip roof? You know, it's not a small assessment they're doing on this thing. So you look at the roof structures, you look at the roof types, and then what happens when the tile comes off the roof or the shingles get blown off the roof. Mm. They want to know, when does the water enter the home, essentially? Because that's really when the damage starts to occur, when we start having flooding. And that, you know, that's where the big money starts to get spent. So that down here, we've come up with this secondary water resistance, they call it. So in the rest of the country, your roof cover is your primary roof. You know, your shingles, your tile, that's what keeps the water under your house. In Florida, that's not the case. Those are decorative items down here. The thing that keeps the water out of your home is the underlayment down here, and it's done in a different way. And they have qualifications for that. Is it a barrier? Is it a resistance layer? You know, these are all different levels of water resistance, if you will, or way they qualify how well this home is going to stand up in these big storms. So there again, you get another discount for, you know, what kind of underlayment you had.
Wow.
And after all this stuff is about the roof is done, and they looked at all that, they go, well, what other hazards can we look at in the house? And of course, the next big one is your windows and your doors. In construction world, we call them penetrations. So a solid wall is a great thing, but if you put a hole in it, now you've got, you know, a riskier area. And they go to the extent in the testing of these things, they literally shoot a 2x4 at stuff. You know, it's a full-size 2x4 shot out of a cannon that if it penetrates it, it doesn't qualify. So, you know, hurricane rated, which is kind of funny. If you look at the real stats on the glass,
mm-hmm.
a standard bulletproof window doesn't meet Miami-Dade requirements.
Really?
Really, really. A hurricane-rated window is a bulletproof window. And it is actually stronger than a standard bulletproof window.
Wow.
There's a double benefit, if you will, to upgrade to these new windows, because there is a huge security gain in having, you know, bulletproof glass in your home. You know, you can't break through these windows with a bat. You can no longer enter a home that way as, you know, a criminal. So that's a big benefit to them, as a side note. But yeah, they want to know what windows are there. They get incredibly specific about the glass. And you may have noticed in your windows, there's this real small etching in the bottom corner of your glass, and it defines how that window was put together by the manufacturer. Hmm. You know, what kind of glass was it? How thick is it? What are the layers? What standards was it met to? And then finally, some of them actually get to what's called Miami-Dade Code Approved.
Hmm.
And those are what we're seeing go in nowadays down here all the time. Big money, but definitely worth it. Mm-hmm. And if you spend that money, you should have that benefit in your insurance rates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why would you not? Why would you pay the higher assessment than if you didn't have it? You know, and the current code nowadays is you either have to have those or you have to have a large missile rated shutter system. So they're not letting anything built or get remodeled or changed out and not meet this requirement. Mm-hmm. And it's been that way in Miami for a long time. You go over there, yeah. Everything's hurricane rated or shuttered. Here locally, we're just starting to get to that push and trying to get to 100%. So we got a long way to go with that. But those are the big issues here. So, you know, and each one of those topics result in, you know, anywhere from $500 to a couple $1,000s off your premium. You know, so depending on what materials and methods your home were built to, you could cut your rate in half.
Right. Wow. So fascinating.
It's not a lot of money. It's generally, you know, under $150 to have this wind mitigation inspection done and the forms put together. And you know, they're not easy on the inspectors. That we can't just make a statement on it and say it. This is how it was. We've literally got to show a photo of what it is that we're attesting to, so that any person could reasonably come to that same conclusion. So there's no gray areas in this. It's literally, this is what it is, and this is the proof. And then they take it and they write their assessment, and this is how much we're willing to put a risk on that. And that's the value, and that's where your insurance rate comes from.
So are you saying, Rick, that the onus is on the homeowner to prove that you know, they have a certain type of roof system to qualify, or how does that work?
Essentially, yeah. But really that's what they hire us for.
Okay.
The form is so complicated. You can download it yourself from the internet. The chances of you filling it out correctly are about zero. And then, yeah, you'd have to send the photos that they're asking for.
Wow. Sheesh. Yeah.
That's a lot of info, right? just a silly little discount form. But, yeah. And there's more to come, you know. In our next podcast down the road, we're going to talk about the next other insurance way they look at things is houses built. And they call that the four-point inspection. And that one's yet even more to hear about. So that's other side of where your insurance policies come from. We'll talk about that one next.
Well, I can't wait. And yeah, this is great timing because as you mentioned at the beginning of the episode, you know, home insurance is a bit in a topsy-turvy point at the moment. And so I'm glad you're able to spend some time sharing your knowledge and helping us homeowners who are kind of scratching our heads at this point, wondering what's going on. So really appreciate it, Rick, and look forward to the next episode.
Awesome. Great talking with you, Charlie.
Thanks for listening to the Trade Secrets Inspections podcast. To learn more about Trade Secrets Inspections, go to www.tradesecretsinspections.com or call 239-537-1186.